So last Monday, we had Jesus was back in the land of the Gennesaret, where the man who was living in amongst the tombs, possessed by the demon that Jesus healed, and then the demon went to the pigs and they jumped in the water. And the man said, "I want to follow you, Lord." And Jesus says, "No, stay here and tell everyone about what happened." Today, he goes back to the land, and as soon as he touches the soil, everyone recognizes him. So we can't say exactly that what happened, but it makes sense that this man who was healed from last week's lectionary story made the Lord known, so that when he came, people recognized him. We have a story to tell. In a way, we all follow Jesus, some of us more directly with our vocation than others, but we're all following Jesus. And we all have an obligation, a responsibility to tell others about our encounter, about being set free from the demons of our lives, being set free from the chains and the binds of sin. The freedom that we have found with the life of discipleship. We have an obligation, a responsibility to tell the world so that when he does come, people will recognize him. People will see him and know him. Because what happens if we don't tell the story is that he's not recognized, or that they're looking for someone else. As John the Baptist said, "Do we look for you, or is there someone else we're looking for?" We have an obligation to make known the name of Jesus, the power of his presence in our lives, the power of the healing touch of Jesus. And that's what we hear today. And in the stories we've been hearing the last few days, the power of the touch of Jesus. Today they wanted just to touch the tassels of his cloak, the tassels that the Jewish men wore as a symbol of their commitment to the law. The many commandments of God were symbolized by the tassels on their garment. The people want to just barely touch the law, touch Jesus, touch God. They knew the power. Do we know that power? I mean, we come here on pilgrimage, for many of us, to the shrine. Do we really believe in the power of the touch of Jesus? In a few moments, we're going to receive him. He will touch us in a more direct way than they were touched in the Gospels. Because we will receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. His fullness will come into us. The power of the touch of Jesus is available for each one of us. In the last few weeks, we've been hearing from the book of Hebrews in the first reading, this revelation of Jesus as the high priest reigning in heaven, making intercession for us, and then the necessity and the life of faith for his followers. And today and in this week, we go back to the beginning as we heard the story of Genesis, the story of creation, as God's mind of order and separation is given to us. We have a revelation of the mind of God, how he wants things to be ordered, to be set apart, to be structured. There was chaos, and then God came, and it was ordered. Things were set aright. In the gospel, there was sickness. There was crippled. There was unbelief. Jesus came, touched the earth, and the healings began. Everywhere he went, healing was there. People were set free. Once again, order and structure set on the land. We see a direct correlation to the original creation story and the recreation story that Jesus brings to his people. That we are no longer trapped in the chaos of our sin, the chaos of disbelief. But when Christ comes into our life and we recognize him and we reach out to touch him and to receive his touch, he sets order to our life. That we're no longer held bound. That we are set free. And for many people, that freedom comes with the physical healing. But for all of us, it comes with the spiritual healing. So whatever draws us here today to this shrine, Whether it's devotion to our Blessed Mother, or there's some pregnancy issues that we're seeking resolution to, or we just want to be with Jesus. Let Him touch you and set aright the disorder of your life, the chaos in our lives. He will set you free. He will set you back to that original, and better than the original, because now with Jesus we have full access to the Father. We can live that divine life of grace today, the life that we live in the sacraments. That's the promise and the opportunity that each one of us have. Today also the church gives us as a model of faith is St. Paul, Miki, and companions, those Japanese martyrs who set the pace for their country at a time when it was illegal to come in, at a time when there was no notion of Christianity. The Jesuit and the Franciscan missionaries risked their lives to bring Christ to the people of Japan. And today we celebrate some of the first martyrs. There were 26 martyrs celebrated today. I know there's a movie in the theaters now about Japanese martyrs, and there's some question about, did they deny the faith? Were they true? What was the whole story? We don't know. But we know for certain the saints that we honor today held fast to the faith. They believed in the promise of Christ. They believed in the healing touch of Jesus and the promise of eternal life given to us through a life of discipleship. And St. Paul, Miki, and companions were alive in the 1500s, the late 1500s. 300 years later, when the missionaries arrived once again, at first they saw no signs of Christianity. But once the missionaries got to know the people, even though they had been without the priests, without the sacraments for 3 centuries, they were waiting for Jesus. And when the missionaries came, they recognized Him. Just as we heard in the gospel today, when Jesus came, He was recognized because the people had told their story and they held firm to their faith. For 300 years, we should pray for them for the grace of long-suffering and perseverance. Some of us suffer for many, many years. Some of us carry burdens for generations. Christ can heal us. Christ will set us free. And just, I wanted to share just some words from St. Paul, Miki, as he was dying. He said, "The only reason for my being killed is that I have taught the doctrine of Christ. I certainly did teach the doctrine of Christ. I thank God it is for this reason that I die. I believe that I am telling only the truth before I die. I know you believe me, and I want to say to you all once again, ask Christ to help you to be happy. I obey Christ. After Christ's example, I forgive my persecutors. I do not hate them. I ask God to have pity on all, and I hope my blood will fall on my fellow men as a fruitful rain. I hope my blood will fall as a fruitful rain. Our witness as disciples of Christ can have that same effect. And each day we should live our life in preparation for martyrdom. Maybe not the red blood martyrdom of St. Paul Miki, but who knows? But that daily dying to self, that white martyrdom, through which and by which we give testimony to the healing power of Jesus, the power of His word in our life, and the absolute certainty that what He says is true. And that no matter what any politician or Hollywood star says, no matter what any other preacher who claims to be preaching the truth tells us, Christ and Him crucified, we heard yesterday from St. Paul in the second reading at Mass, I come with only Christ and Him crucified, made present to us through this Holy Catholic Church, lived through the sacraments. I am certain that this is the truth. With St. Paul Miki, let that be certain with you as well, that what we celebrate here today is the eternal truth of the life-giving Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let our witness be a fruitful rainfall on our fellow men and women. Amen.